Beautiful, beautiful. Amen. Amen. Oh, well, the light of the world. Praise the Lord. Today you see on the screen hope. Hope. I hope. I hope. I hope. I hope this. I hope that. I hope we have a white Christmas. I really don't, but I just thought it sounded good, huh? I hope, you know, whatever. We all hope for something. We'll talk about hope today. The scripture I want to use is Jeremiah 33:14-16 this morning, and it says, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteousness." Jeremiah says something good's going to happen. Something real good's going to happen. And then we'll get a little deeper into that as we go. It's that time of year again, isn't it? We got some pretty trees up here. Looks beautiful. We got some white ones and we got some green ones with white stuff on them. And it's a different change, isn't it? It looks beautiful. We thank you for it, but we know it's a season. We know it's a Christmas season. We know something's up here with all the music. You turn the radio on and what do you hear? Christmas music. You turn that thing over to 70, is it, on that little deal? Cyrus, somebody. It's 70 over there, you know, Holly or something. You know, you got all these channels and all the Christmas music. If you like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you can hear it. If you like It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, O Beautiful Star of Bethlehem, shine on. You can hear it. Something's up. Something's in the air. Trees are coming. Music is there. And lights are popping up all over the place. You ride down the road and you see a new one. And there they are. So it starts a season. Phyllis said it's called Advent. And that's what we celebrate in the Christian church this time of year. The coming of a Savior. A coming of a Savior. Think about it. Now, we know we have a lot more to look at since all those years ago. We have an Old Testament. We have a New Testament. We know the story. Not the first time you're hearing it. But just think about it before that first Christmas. The long-awaited Messiah. The long-awaited. People had waited and waited and they had heard the stories and they had heard the stories. The prophets had spoken and they waited and they waited and they waited for that time for him to come. And it got there. It really happened after all these years of waiting and this preparation for this celebration is what we're doing here called Advent. So again, we got the decorations, we got the music, and then we got these candles down here. Isn't that beautiful? I don't know about y'all, but if I have to vote today on that little ring where the candles fall off and I get real nervous every year, and that, I pick that. What do y'all pick? That little ring makes me nervous, candles. Doing like that. That's beautiful. Thank you for putting it there. So, hope, love, joy, peace. Something's coming here. Something's coming. The Messiah is coming this Advent. And today's the first Sunday of it. We light that hope candle that you heard about. So we begin a journey, if you will. We can begin that journey. Somebody mentioned the shepherds, Philip did, or Emily, about, you know, how they might have felt. And they're going to journey. We're on a journey from this Sunday that we work ourselves right up to Christmas Day, that when we'll celebrate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can think, well, they were going to this little town called Bethlehem. We're moving toward that Christmas Day. And somebody said, Phyllis probably, the tradition, we light the candles, we have the reading, it can just be tradition. Or we can say, this year, Yes, preacher, I know the story. Yes, I know about the trees of music. We know we do this every year. And a lot of preachers, if they're honest with you, will say that Christmas is one of the hardest times to preach. Because what are you going to do with the story? How many ways do you preach Christmas? We go through that, but some way today, some way the next few Sundays, let's ask the Holy Spirit to come in our mind and our heart and grab hold of hope today. Grab hold of hope today. Hope in, yes, it's in Jesus Christ. We know that. But hope in the circumstances that we live in. Well, I hope the sun shines tomorrow. I sure hope it quits raining. I hope this, I hope that. Well, this hope in the Bible, this candle representing the hope this first day of Advent, I'm telling you, this kind of hope, it's not talking about I hope I have chicken for lunch. This is hope of a nation. This is hope of the whole world. This is big time. This is the happening. It represents the hope of the whole world. And you know what we do in 2018? A lot of time we just take it for granted. I've heard the Christmas story, preacher. I've heard the Christmas story. I'm going to read it again with my family. And I hope you'll get those kits that Cindy's talking about and do it with your children. I might get one and do it with my old children or grandchildren, but do it. I heard the Christmas story. I know the Christmas story. I hear it every year. But what was it like before we came? What was it before Jesus came? What were they thinking? Well, I'm going to go to church and I've got to follow all these rules. And you know what? This is before Jesus came here, and I break those rules. So then I come into the sanctuary, I come to the, quote, church, and then I have to give these offerings and these burnt offerings and all these things because I couldn't keep all those laws. And I need some hope. I need some hope. So I just, guess what? It is an endless cycle. They said, well, I'm going to try hard. You hear that today too. We're going to try to follow these rules here, but then I break one of them. So I got to go back and give sacrifices and offerings. I'm not able to live up to all these laws. And it would, to me, it would be like, it just makes me tired thinking about it. That I cannot keep all these laws. And I'm tired and I'm trying, but I break them. And then I go give a sacrifice and burnt offering. And then, guess what? I go out and I break another law. And I'm tired and I'm weary and I'm thinking, I can't do this. If they felt that way, maybe, defeated, I'm always coming up short. But there was hope. But there was hope because Jesus came. That long-awaited Messiah came. And Jeremiah wrote to his people about that great hope. The throne will never be empty and the debt will forever be paid upon the coming of our Lord. That's the hope you have. That's the hope I have. That's the hope the shepherds had, the wise men had. That's the hope. When the angels appeared to the shepherds. He's coming soon, not this time. He said, the Messiah is here. Hey, I'm going to give you some good news. Great joy. A Savior's been born. It's not he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Hey, he's arrived. He's here. So the hope, it was coming alive. It was right there for people. He's here. They had to be excited. The hope, the anticipation of what's happening. He's coming. And then to get the message, he's here. He's here. Anticipation Run to Bethlehem. Run to see this Savior. Somebody said one time, he said, I really enjoy the vacation with the kids, but they enjoy the anticipation more than they do the trip, I believe. Getting ready to go, hey, we're going to Disney World. Hey, we're going to whatever. And guess what? I'm going to see this and I'm going to see that. And that anticipation's there. And that's part of the enjoyment of it. But on this anticipation, man, we've waited. And then the angel says, he's here. The hope of the world. Now, this story is old, and you've probably heard it, but it brings the point home today. So we went around an email years ago, but I'd like to share it with you one more time. Years ago, there was a very wealthy man who, with his devoted young son, shared a passion for art collecting. Together, they traveled around the world, adding only the finest art treasures to their collection. The widowed father looked on with satisfaction as his only child became an experienced art collector. But the day came when war engulfed the nation, and the young man left to serve his country. After only a few short weeks, his father received a telegram that his beloved son had been killed while carrying a fellow soldier to a medic. On Christmas morning, a knock came at the door of the old man's home. And he opened the door, and he was greeted by a soldier with a large package in his hand. He introduced himself to the man, saying, I was a friend of your son. I was the one he was rescuing when he died. May I come in for a few moments? I have something to show you. I'm an artist, said the soldier, and I want to give you this. As the old man unwrapped the package, the paper gave way to reveal a portrait of his son. Though many art critics would never consider the work a piece of genius, the painting did feature the young man's face in striking detail and seemed to capture his personality. The following spring, the old man became ill and passed away. The art world was in anticipation. According to the will of the old man, all the artwork would be auctioned. The day soon arrived, and art collectors from around the world gathered to bid on some of the world's most spectacular paintings. The auction began with a painting that was not on the museum's list. It was the painting of the old man's son. The auctioneer asked for an opening bid. The room was silent. Who will open the bidding with $100? He asked. Minutes passed. Not a sound came. From the back of the room, someone said, who cares about that painting? Just a picture of his son? Forget it. Let's go on to the important paintings. There were other voices that echoed in agreement. But the auctioneer replied, no, we have to sell this one first. Now who will take the son? Finally, a friend of the old man spoke, I knew the boy, so I'd like to have it. I will bid $100. I have a bid for $100, called the auctioneer. Will anyone go higher? After a long silence, the auctioneer said, going once, going twice, gone. The gavel fell. Cheers filled the room. Someone said, now we can get on with it. But the auctioneer looked at the audience and announced the auction was over. Stunned disbelief quietened the room. Someone spoke up and asked, what do you mean it's over? We didn't come here for a picture of some old guy's son. What about the paintings? There are millions of dollars worth of art here. We demand that you explain what's going on. And the auctioneer replied, it's very simple. According to the will of the Father, whoever takes the Son gets it all. It's very simple. According to the will of the Father, whoever takes the Son gets it all. That's the way it is with us. We're not talking about artwork. We're talking about eternity. We're talking about heaven. We're talking about spiritual blessings. The will of the Father says, you take the Son and you get me too. You take the Son and you get it all. So, how do we enjoy Christmas and all the things around us without the pain of the cross? Well, it's part of the story. We really can't separate them because the pain of the cross is part of the story. All the hope in this coming Messiah that people waited for and waited for and waited for hinges on the true purpose of Christmas, on the true purpose that Jesus came, and that's to save lost people. That's to save you and me from all the sin that we have committed, from the laws of old where people would break them and do their sacrifices. God knew at the right moment He would send Jesus, that little baby in the manger who grew up, did the miraculous things we read in God's holy word, and at the right time died on Calvary's cross for your sin and my sin, that sin debt could be paid in full. Grace and mercy and love of Almighty God. At the right time, He came. And that's the purpose of this story that we celebrate today. That's the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We were slaves to sin and to death, but because of Jesus, we can be saved. So you look at that baby in the manger now. You look at all the nativity scenes you see, and you know the story. Again, you've got Old and New Testament, you know the story, but you think about it like a shepherd would. You think about it like they had been waiting and waiting and waiting, and then the proclamation came that a Savior's been born, and they rushed to see. And think about how the shepherds felt. Think about how they looked at their Lord for the first time. Seeing Jesus the first time, this long-awaited Messiah. I've heard about it, I've heard about it, I'm waiting, I'm waiting, I'm waiting. And then I see the Lord the first time. There had to be so much hope, so much joy in seeing the Savior of the world. Now 2018, here we are. Do you see the Savior? Do you see Jesus? Well, we know the Christmas story. We know the nativity scene. I got one here. I got one in my yard. I got one over here. I know it. I see it. It's out here on the table. But will you look at that baby like a shepherd the first time? Would you look at it this Advent season? The hope of the world has arrived. The hope that you need in everyday life. The hope the world needs. The hope that Trump needs. The hope that the Bush family needs. The hope that Obama needs. The hope that China needs and Russia needs and the world needs is Jesus Christ the Lord. And He's come. He's come. And we have that. We know about it. So as the guy in the video said, give it away. You have the power to give hope to somebody. You do. How'd you get it? Because you're so good looking? No. Because you got it all together? No. Because if Jesus Christ, this Messiah, this long-awaited Christ child, He's came and you accepted Him by asking Him to forgive you of sin. He lives within you. That hope is within you. Amen. And you can give that hope to somebody else. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to do that. Listen, there is hope, a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Why? Right here, the Christmas story. All because of Jesus Christ the Lord. Think about the fulfillment, then the hope of baby Jesus, the price that's been paid. Wow, that gives me some anticipation. That gives me some energy to say, man, I want to dig a little deeper. I want to, not that I want to pretend, that's the wrong word, I guess, but to see Jesus afresh and anew, maybe that's a better word, or to like it's the first time. You remember when the Holy Spirit convicted you of sin? You remember that? You knew you needed a Savior and you gave your heart to Jesus. Might have been 9, might have been 7, might have been 17, might have been 77, I don't know. But you remember when the Holy Spirit convicted you of sin and you truly asked to be saved with a genuine heart and you were born again. And man, the relief and the wonder and the joy that flooded your soul. And now I've been saved 50 years, or whatever your number may be, Are you still excited? Do you still see the hope? Do you still have the anticipation of what Jesus will do today? What Christ will do tomorrow? What will happen next week? Oh, I hope we do. The angel said, "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all people, for to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Our Christ, our Savior, our Lord, who awaits in Bethlehem. Well, we know He's not in Bethlehem today. But we can think about Him being in Bethlehem. We can think about that before that first Christmas. We can think about the shepherds going. We can think about our journey leading up to Christmas Day. And we get a little closer. We get a little closer. And soon it'll be December the 25th, the day we celebrate Christmas. And our hearts can be filled with hope of what He'll do for us. Hope in Jesus Christ the Lord. Oh, it sounds churchy. It sounds pretty good. But will you grasp it today? Will you really take a hold of it? Sometimes I get Cannon on the bed and pray for his little stomach issues right now. But I had him Friday, and I'll say, "Boy, me and you, we're gonna wrestle right here." I'll throw him up on that bed and get up on there and just wool him real good. And he just grins. It brings me joy. And then I say, "I'm going to pin you down." And you think, he's just that a year or whatever. But he just loves it. Just throw him around. Y'all know what I'm saying or not? Am I the only weird one here? But we play and do that kind of stuff. And he'll look up and grin, you know. And I think how much joy this is and how I love that. And then I think of the days he and all these other little kids around here and through the world, what they'll face. I want to grasp hope. I want to grasp the hope that I have and you have. Well, I'm near 90. And I don't have many days on this earth. You have great hope in Jesus Christ the Lord. Well, I'm in this middle age group and I've got this, or I'm raising small kids, or I'm just a teenager and life's confusing, or I'm a preteen or I'm a little baby, or I'm a whatever. There's hope for all of us, and it's in Jesus Christ the Lord. You can teach your kids anything you want to. It's a free country. But you better be teaching your kids and your grandkids and your neighbor's kids about Jesus Christ the Lord. We better be anticipating them being saved. We better be praying, "God, I claim Cannon's soul by the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray in the name of Jesus that the enemy of hell cannot touch him. And when he gets to the age of accountability, I pray in Jesus' name he'll be saved." And pray it now. Pray it now. All these little babies running around, pray it now, God. We're claiming that soul for the kingdom. The hope that I have and they have. The long-awaited Messiah. Oh, he came. He came. Get a hold of it. Get a hold of it. We have the story. We know it, but grab hold of it this morning. The hope of heaven. And we think about it at Christmas time. Some of you's lost a loved one this year, and people say these words, "Christmas won't be the same." I understand that from a distance, and extended family, grandparents, that kind of thing. And it won't be the same. But you have hope. And that hope is in Jesus Christ the Lord, a hope of heaven. And His purpose was to come and save the lost. His purpose was to come and save the lost. So therefore, as followers of Jesus Christ, our purpose is to seek and save the lost, to seek and save the lost, to give away hope in Jesus, to give this Christmas away. That's what we're to be doing because we're His followers. We're to spread the gospel. Matthew West said, you have the power to give someone hope. You have the power to give someone hope because Jesus Christ lives within you and you have the hope of Christ in you. He lives within your heart, so you have the power through Christ to give hope away, to give Christmas away. You do. Whose life will you brighten? Whose life will you speak truth into? How will you say, hey, for God so loved the world that He what? He gave His only begotten Son. You have it. He lives within you. Who will you tell? Who will you spread it to? You have the power to give someone hope. Give this Christmas away. Love in your heart. Give it away. Give it away. You have the power to give someone hope. All because of Jesus Christ the Lord. That's the reason. Today, as we start this season, you have great hope, folks. In all the circumstances of life, and sometimes they can look pretty tough, and are tough. You have hope. You have hope in Jesus Christ the Lord. Don't let it just run off you, top of your head. Pretty easy for that to do on mine. Let it sink in. Let it sink in. Well, that's a good sermon. And that all this music and trees and all the specials. Man, you're talking about wonderful. That's wonderful. But my heart's breaking. And I've done church because I saw the tree and I saw the special and I heard the songs and I heard Angie and I heard all this and the preacher talked a while and that's good for Sunday. That's church. But bless God, what happens on Monday? What happens on Monday when your heart's torn in two because the buzz saw of life comes through your life and you're hurting because your children, your grandchildren are on the wrong road. They're in sin and they're headed to hell. What happens when you're tempted to do something wrong? And you back up to that Old Testament that I failed and I sinned. What are you going to do then? You're going to put your hope in Jesus Christ. The church needs to put their hope in Jesus. Amen? And quit playing Christianity. Quit playing like, oh, praise God, I'm here on Sunday morning and then live like hell all week long. It don't work. For young people or old people or middle-aged people, God said, I'm a holy God, and no one will see me without holiness, without living for me. You can't play church and go to heaven. You got to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you got to live a life pleasing to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You can't just walk in here and say, oh, I had church today. Wasn't it nice? I'm just waiting for Him to shut up so I can go eat my chicken. Oh, I went to church. Bless the Lord. And be as bitter as you can be in your heart. Carry around a critical spirit and your nose all snarled up. Talk about everybody in the church and everybody outside the church. That's not Christianity. That's not what God says. I brought you hope. I brought you love. I brought you joy. Man, I brought you how to live pleasing to me. Don't just waltz in a church building, waltz out, and then do whatever you want to do. This is real. This is real hope. This is real conversion. This is real that I was blind, but now I see. I was a sinner lost, going to hell. But now, because of the coming of the Lord, the death of Jesus, this great Messiah, man, I am saved and living for Jesus. I have the power in me, not of anything that I've done or we've done, but because of His love We have His power in us, and we're to proclaim it and be Christ followers and live like Jesus lived. And we're all striving to do that, I hope. What do you need hope for? What do you need hope in? Hope in Jesus Christ the Lord is the answer. Period. Would you stand with me? Father, what a story. What a truth. What a miracle. That You, Almighty God, who created all things, would want a relationship with people like me and people around this world, black, white, tan, Russians, Chinese and Indians, Japanese folks, American folks, that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. That You want a relationship with mankind. Wow. Sure would have been a lot easier in my estimation just to forget us. That's why You're God and I'm not. Because You're a loving God, full of grace and mercy. And we're a stiff-necked, stubborn people. And I pray, Father, that this day, as we focus on hope in Jesus, that we won't just go through the Advent reading, hear a few words about hope, but we will let the hope of Jesus change us right now. The hope of Jesus restore a marriage right now. The hope of Jesus bring healing to the physical body and the spiritual body right now. That the hope of Jesus Christ would transform our relationships. That the hope of Jesus Christ would help us financially, physically, emotionally, in anything that we need today. That Jesus, we would place our hope in You. God, I rebuke pride today by the blood of Jesus Christ for the roadblock of pride that would stand in people's way and say, I'm not going to that altar. People think this of me or that of me. I rebuke that thought in Jesus' name. And I plead the blood over all of us that people would be freed today from the things that hold them back. In the relationship with You and relationship with other people, that we will replace any anger or bitterness or any roadblock that would get in our way. We would replace it with the hope of Jesus Christ our Lord. So, Father, You know what we need. May we be obedient people to You around an altar or in our pew. And may You change us for the glory of God. We place our hope in You, and it's in Your name we pray. Amen.